Heavenly Father, we ask for the special anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43 in the Red Pew Bibles, page 1039. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43. Just to set the context of this, Jesus has been involved in his ministry for quite some time now, but he's really starting to meet resistance. Those who question him, those who don't believe in him, those who are asking for signs. Everybody wants a sign. You know, prove to us that you are who you say that you are. And in the midst of that, we have this very interesting passage where Jesus talks about evil spirits and the way evil spirits can affect us. So kind of a strange teaching in the midst of this particular paragraph, but this is not a parable, by the way. This is something specifically that Jesus is using as a teaching. And so he's talking very specifically here about very specific evil spirits. So we pick up in Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. When it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation. This is the word of the Lord. So we're talking about how bad things happen to people. We live in a dangerous world. There are accidents, there are natural disasters, there are bad people in this world who do bad things. We make bad decisions and bring some things on ourselves. We reap what we sow. But also there are evil spirits that are in the world, and these evil spirits are at war with us, and they seek to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. And so we're going to be talking about why this happens, but also what do we do to protect ourselves. It's not just a matter of what God does, it's a matter also of what we do, our part. I'm coming to believe more and more in any prayer as, Lord, heal me, Lord, help me with this, that God says, okay, I'll do my part, and here's your part. Let's do this together. And our response is, no, Lord, you just take care of it. You just do it, you know. And he's like, no, let's do this together. God just loves to do things together. So he's always looking for ways that we participate with him in answer to prayer. Now, in this case, this evil spirit was put out of a person. But it comes back. Why does it come back? Because it's looking for a place to dwell in, can't find anything. It comes back, and it finds the place clean, empty, swept. So it's able to enter back into, not only that, but bring seven other spirits more evil than itself, and the last state of that person is worse than at first. So we say, with thanks be to God, the evil spirit had to leave. But why was the evil spirit allowed to come back in? Because the house was empty. Whose fault is that? Is it God's fault that the house was empty? No. So the question is, what are we doing to keep the house full? Being in covenant with one another, the body of Christ, staying connected, being filled with the Word of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit. These are the things that fill the house so these evil spirits have no place to come back into. So we see again this point. It's not just what God does for us, it's what we do to participate. What is our part in all of this? Now, one of the things I shared last week was simply the prayer, my own experience of myself being stuck in traffic. I know that sounds trivial, but I prayed, Jesus, save me, and he did. And he did. And so I encouraged all of us, if you're stuck in something, if you're coming against some hardship or some problem, to just say, Jesus, save me. Now, did anyone get saved this week? Anybody, did you have a specific thing that Jesus actually saved you from? Yes? So it works? I'm not the only one? I know this is a little testy. Can we see a raise of hands? How many of you actually experienced Jesus? Okay, quite a few of you. Wow. Quite a few of you. I hope there's a sense, first of all, that's not the first time, but I hope there's a sense that when that happens to us, it's not just a coincidence that things happen to turn out, but there's something inside of us that God says, by the way, I'm the one who did this. And when we have that inner testimony of the Holy Spirit, it just builds our faith. And when God uses it in the little things, then when it comes to the big things, we're like, if he could handle that, surely he can handle this. So that's just one of the things we talk about, ways that we use the power that God has given us in the name of Jesus Christ as members of the body of Christ to save ourselves, not in terms of eternal salvation I'm talking about, but in terms of just that Jesus is not just a Savior for eternity, he's also a Savior here and now. And so we thank God for that power and for the knowledge he's given us in his word of how to use that power. So today we want to talk about things that we do. Things that are up to us, really, in order to keep bad things from happening to us. I've been talking about why things happen. There's a number of them. Accidents happen. Natural disasters happen. Sin happens. And none of that is God's fault. Sometimes it is God's purpose, because God, we're told in Scripture, sometimes disciplines us if he needs to get our attention. Sometimes God will test our faith, make it prove more genuine. And if we're bearing fruit in our life, the Scriptures tell us that God will prune the bush that we might bear more fruit. And we're told that this is good for us. So it's not really bad, it's good for us, because in a sense, God is molding us to be more like Jesus. But when these things happen to us, we are saved by Jesus, and in that we're told the Father is glorified. And in the end, that's what everything is about, is giving glory to our Heavenly Father. Now, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the world that I believe is not God's will. Again, we live in a very dangerous place. There's some things that God does, but I actually believe more than not, things that we suffer, the hardships that we endure, are not God's will. It's because something else is happening that we did not do or that we are doing. And so what are some of those things? What can we do to prevent bad things happening to us or to protect ourselves from those bad things happening to us? This is not an all-inclusive list, but it certainly is a biblical list. The first thing I would say is about repentance, confessing our sins. We're told confess our sins and God will forgive us. But we're also told that in sinning, that there are spiritual doorways that are open to the enemy. Paul talks about that. He says, don't be angry and don't give the devil a foothold in your life. So again, we open up these spiritual doorways by our sinning. As I'm going to talk about listening, also sin keeps us from hearing the voice of God. It kind of clouds our spiritual antenna. And so repentance is very, very important. That was the first message that Jesus preached and the first message that John the Baptist preached. Repent, confess our sins, and God, who is faithful and just, forgives us our sins, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. So a discipline, of ongoing discipline of confessing sins, repenting, and turning from things of the world. If we have unrepentant sin in our lives, we can expect the enemy is going to have a field day with us. And then we wonder, why is this happening? Well, we've got this doorway that's been opened to the enemy. So we need to close those doorways. The way we close them is by repentance. A second thing we just heard in our reading from Ephesians, Paul talks about the importance of putting on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, taking up the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. This, again, is an ongoing discipline. I've got some prayers I offer on the back of our sermon outline. One of those is specifically about putting on the armor of God. It's something that I pray as part of my daily prayers. And so I encourage that for you as well, and also for our loved ones to put on that armor. A third thing that I would offer to you is about blessings. Not just blessings, but blessings and curses. We're told in Revelation 12 that the saints of God overcame the enemy by the blood of Jesus and by the word of their testimony. So the blood of Jesus means our connection with Jesus. Again, that's the faith component, being in covenant with God. If we're not in covenant with God, we're just kind of out there on our own. God just removes his hand. He doesn't have to do anything bad. He just removes the covering. And the enemy and the world just wreak havoc in our lives. And so we come against that by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony requires an understanding of the power of the spoken word to both bless and to curse. We know that Jesus brought the children to him. The disciples did, and the disciples actually tried to push them away, but Jesus put his hand on them and he blessed them. So blessings that we give, particularly as parents, are very, very important, particularly for our kids, to pray blessings upon people. We're pronouncing God's protection. We're pronouncing the truth of the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. So we pray blessings upon people. We pray blessings upon our homes. We bless homes to drive from any works of the enemy or anything that's evil in our homes. I also believe in blessing our cars. You know, how many of us just pray protection over our cars? Lord, please bless this car and please keep it safe and keep me from accidents and injuries. So we pray blessings over things because the scriptures tell us about when the disciples went out and he said, when you go into a house, pray that the peace of God would come to this house. And if the peace is there, it will come upon it. If not, it won't. And so there's power very much in that spoken word, not only for blessing, but also for cursing. Now this is important to realize because people can pronounce or pray curses against us. Some of those go back generations. We have to pray against them and cancel those and nullify them, again, by the blood of the Lamb in the name of Jesus. But just to show the power of the spoken word, not only in blessing but in curse, there was an incident that happened in Acts chapter 13. Paul was going around and preaching, and there was this magician who was following him around and just causing havoc. And finally, Saul turns around and says, filled with the Holy Spirit, he looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." What was Paul doing there? He's pronouncing a curse on this guy. And what happens is the guy goes blind. This is the power of the spoken word. Now, we're not to go around doing what Paul did as much as sometimes we would like to. That we're not supposed to, that's not our business. But it's to realize that there are people who pray curses against Christians and against Christian churches specifically. I told you the story of Derek Prince was talking, met this woman who talked about they prayed against churches. They prayed for the division in Christian churches and they prayed for the breakup of Christian marriages. That was the two things that this particular coven was praying for and fasting for. So these curses are done. I don't know what's happened here, but I know where we were before in the strip mall. This was years before we came into this building. And I was there early one Sunday morning, and I saw a pickup truck came, and the bright lights flashed right into the space where we were, and it just sat there. And I thought, oh, somebody's going to come in, and I realized, whoop, it's kind of, you get the sense, like, whoa, something different here. Now, I don't know this, but I have a sense there was somebody in that truck that was praying against our space. And so this, again, is kind of something came to me, I think, by the Lord, and so I just prayed against it. I just believe that stuff happens. And again, it happens intergenerationally. There's stuff that may not happen to us, and we have no idea why. It turns out something happened with our ancestors. And so we have to pray against it and just cut those lines. It's not a complicated thing. And if you know magic words, just, Jesus, if there's anything that's come down from our generation, we just pray against it by the blood of Jesus and we cancel it in the name of Jesus. Okay? But this is the power of the spoken word, both for blessing and for cursing. And so it's important that we understand that we would incorporate that in our own lives, praying for our kids, praying for one another, coming up to the altar here and praying blessings upon people, receiving a blessing from God is very, very important, and there's definitely power in that. Next thing I think we should talk about is listening to God. Listening to God. In Acts chapter 16, Paul was going to go to Bithynia. Oh, great. He's going around having all the success. We're going to go to Bithynia. The scripture says, but the Holy Spirit stopped him. Doesn't tell us why, because later on they ended up did go to Bithynia. Why did the Holy Spirit say, no, not now, Paul? Maybe there was some danger there. Whoever knows? Maybe he might have been killed. We don't know, except the Holy Spirit stopped him from going to Bithynia. And so it's listening to the book. What if he had not been listening? He would have gone to Bithynia and something bad probably would have happened, I suspect. That's why the Holy Spirit is guarding him and stopping him. In James chapter 4, we're told that we should not just say, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. James says, what we should say is, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go do that. If we're walking in the will of the Lord. This was a big problem back with the Israelites. They were coming in and conquering the promised land and having victory after victory. And finally, this other group come. They said, oh, yeah, let's go get them too. And they went off. And they got defeated. And they came back and said, God, what happened? We had a real string of victories here. He says, you didn't inquire of me before you went. Ooh. Heard a story by John Wimber, great, the beginning of the Vineyard churches, great evangelist, great healing ministry, John Wimber. Called all over, you know, spoke to thousands of people. And one time he's getting ready to talk to this group of people. And he's up on the stage getting ready to be introduced. And he's like, he doesn't have a word from the Lord. And he said, Lord, why did you call me to come here if you didn't give me a word to share with these people? And the Lord said to him, John, I didn't call you here. It's like, ooh, that, what a lesson. Have you ever done anything and gone back and God said, I didn't want you to do that? Stepping outside of God's will. And I mean, it's not that he leaves us, but it's that, you know, it's like, this isn't what I wanted you to do. And so it's going to the Lord, it's listening to him. And that means taking time to be quiet before the Lord, seeking his will, particularly if you have a major decision to be made. And so we need to hear the voice of God with quiet time. If we have unrepentant sin in our life, it's going to keep us from hearing. And also, we always need to check that whatever we think we hear from God does not contradict the word of God written, which is the Bible. The word of God spoken cannot contradict the word of God written, which means we need to know the Bible, right? So if something comes to us, you say, wait a minute, that's not consistent with the scriptures. I need to check that, or I need to pray against it more. But listening to God is huge. It's huge. And we hear things about, well, I shouldn't have gone there, or I should have done this. And so when something bad happens, that's one of the things we say is, was I listening for God to tell me yes or no? I was supposed to do this or I wasn't supposed to do that. I absolutely believe if we listen for his voice, he will reveal his will to us. He is a God who longs to reveal himself to us if we would but humble ourselves and seek his grace. Now, this next one is to me very interesting, helping the needy. You're not going to find this in the sermon outline, because it just came to me early this morning. I usually get up in the night and I do Bible meditation. And I was reading and I was meditating on Psalm 41. And I was thinking about why bad things happen. All of a sudden, this like hit me right between the eyes. And then I'm driving in on the way coming into the church this morning. And more, it just like really isn't, you know, just this is important. I should have had it on the outline. So I went back, Psalm 41. Now, I'm convinced, by the way, that these two passages, somebody came and added these into my Bible. They were never there before. Has that ever happened to you? I'm convinced these were added by somebody because I've never seen them before. Psalm 41, verse 1. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. Here we see a connection between helping the poor and not only being blessed by God, not only being protected by God, but being healed by God, because we're helping the poor. And wow. So I'm driving in this morning, 6 o'clock, and I'm meditating on this. We're supposed to help the poor. And whenever I preach to you, I start to, you know, ask myself, well, how am I doing on this? And I'm thinking, I think I'm doing pretty well. I mean, I you know, help people. I'm thankfully, with money that you have given me, I'm able to financially help people in need, able to do things for people. I'm like, I think I'm doing pretty well. And so I'm driving along. Again, it's dark. And along the side, there's somebody walking. No lights on, no nothing. It's like one of those, wow, if they'd been in the street, I would have hit them. And so I'm like, here's this person. And it looked like they needed help. So I drove right past them, meditating on helping those in need. That's pretty funny, isn't it? Meditating on helping those in need, and I go right past this person. And God kind of says to me, I want you to stop and help that person. And I'm like, well, Lord, I'll be late for church. That's a pretty good reason, don't you think? I'm going to be late for church. I can't stop and help this guy. Have you ever won an argument with God? No. So God says to me, why won't you listen to me? And I say to God, but Lord, he's probably just a freeloader. Right? That was my, but Lord, he's probably just a freeloader. And God says to me, if you will not listen to me in this, when will you ever listen to me? See how the little things, he looks for obedience. So I turned around, came back. Sure enough, the guy was in legitimate need. He'd just gotten out of the hospital. And I gave him a ride to where he wanted to go. And I'm still here on time. Hearing the voice of God, helping the needy. Now, what that, I don't know what it does. I think it empowers me somehow because that's the promise of God. But whatever it is, it's hearing that voice of God and responding to it and being obedient to it to help those who are in need. Somehow it's huge that Jesus really cares about people who are in need. And he wants us to care about them as well. Now, I grant you, it's always a risk. It's always an element of risk. I think I'm hearing God say this. There's an element of risk. So we always pray about it. But certainly what happened to me this morning was it, right in the middle of meditating on helping the need, I go right past this guy and God stops me in my tracks and says, go back and help this person. Wow. Well, I talked to him in the car and I said, do you know Jesus? Yes, he knows Jesus. He had been involved in a church and actually some conflict happened and he had to leave the church. He's been out of the church for, I think he said, 6 months, and he says the devil's been wreaking havoc in his life. He's not the serious disease now that he's trying to fight. I ended up taking him to the hospital. Didn't have money. Didn't ask for money, by the way. Just wanted to get to the hospital. But he was in the middle of the road, had walked a bunch of miles. So, and genuinely, he was somebody who was in need. And so I just felt afterwards. I invited him to church. I hope he comes. If we listen to the voice of God, particularly helping those in need, God protects us, blesses us, and even heals us. You know, I don't get to the point of saying, I need healing in my life. I'm going to go out and help somebody who's in need. And yet that's kind of, I think, what Scripture is saying. You know, if we're not doing that, you know, there's not an exact science again, but there's some connection there, helping people in need. And it just really made an impression on me this morning that that was a lesson that God has for all of us. So we live in a very dangerous world. Lots of things happen. Does God discipline us and prune us and test our faith? Yes, absolutely. I just believe that most of the bad stuff that happens to us, it's not about God at all. It's we're not listening to him, or we're not praying blessings over ourselves, or we're getting involved in stuff we shouldn't be getting involved with. We've got unrepented sin in our life. All that stuff, and that's not God's fault. It's stuff that we bring on ourselves. But even in the midst of that, when that bad stuff happens, we still, at that point, God is amazing. We call out to him and say, Jesus, save me. And he does. Because that's his name. Yehoshua, God saves. So that's his name. So when bad things happen to us, I think it's good to ask questions. Do I have unrepented sin in my life? Okay, maybe God's trying to get my attention. Another thing is, am I under some kind of spiritual attack? Have I somehow opened up a doorway to evil spirits and now I'm under some kind of an attack? Maybe God's pruning me. He's leading me to something, which in a way, to me, makes it kind of exciting. I talked last week about some people who embrace their suffering because of what it does in their lives, making them more like Jesus. In a way, and I think the Bible talks about this in a way that's hard for us in the Western church to understand. But when bad things happen, it's kind of like, well, I wonder what God's going to do with this. And there's an excitement, kind of like, I wonder how I'm going to come to know God more deeply because of this experience that I'm about to have. Isn't that it's kind of excitement in that, isn't it? To think about, wow, I wonder what he's going to do with this. I hand him this mess, and he's going to make something beautiful out of it. And so, yes, we're in a dangerous world, lots of stuff out there. I believe most of it is not what God wants for us. If we stay close to him, stay listening to him, stay in his word, stay in Christian community, we have authority over the enemy, and we can use that authority as we are taught to in the word of God. So, you know, we have people out there who are struggling, hurting, bad things are happening to them. And many of them blame God. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why is God doing this to me? We need to understand and be able to share with them, this isn't God who's doing this. Either you're bringing this upon yourself, or you've opened up a doorway and the enemy is just wreaking havoc in your life. And God wants to save you. And his name is Jesus. What a great way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my hope is as we go out, we see all the hurting people around us, we understand there's a reason for this. God's doing something. And ultimately, he's using it to bring people closer to him, that the Father would be glorified. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. Something's happening. Something's happening. And if we would live in covenant with God and listen to his voice, I absolutely believe the best is truly yet to come. Because God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, you've shown us ways, Lord, to protect ourselves, to heap blessings upon ourselves. And many times, Lord, we're just lazy. We're just lazy. Maybe we didn't have the knowledge, but now we do. So, Lord God, we do seek your voice, your will, your ways in our lives as we dedicate ourselves to you. Father, we put on the whole armor of God to protect ourselves against the schemes of the enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And, Lord, we pledge ourselves to you. May your will be done in us. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in he who makes it all possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.